I do want to invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going from Genesis over to Hebrews. It is the interpretation of the life of Abraham found in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and then in your multiply book, if you have it with you, go to page 102, 102. Can you believe we're on page 102 in our multiply book? And what a great, great day. As Timmy has said, as Pastor Lewis has said, this is truly a defining moment in the life of our church. This is a spiritual marker in the life of Champion Force, and we're so delighted that you are here with us. Now, if you did not receive a commitment card, I know we moved quickly through that. For our 9 o'clock service, we had one in every chair because we had it before the day started, but we had to flip this room after life group, and we don't have much time. So if you do not have a commitment card, we want to bring one to you. Would you raise your hand if you would like a commitment card, don't have one, because we need everybody to participate. So raise your hand high and wave it, and we will bring you one. I want to make sure everybody has a commitment card. Don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're sure. I need one. There you go. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And we'll turn to that in just a few moments after we dive into God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at lessons on faith that we have learned from the life of Abraham. Lessons on faith we have learned from Abraham. So in your notes, if you'll write this down, number one, replace fear of the future with faith in God. Remember that one? Replace fear of the future with faith in God as protector and provider. As we join in this journey together, this multiply faith journey, it's very important that we replace fear of the future with faith in God, that God is trustworthy, that God can handle our fears and our anxieties and our fear of the future and not knowing what the future holds. Remember, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And that's who we anchor our lives to, is our faith in God. I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter 11 now in verse 1, maybe this is a verse that's familiar to you. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Like when you came into this room, you placed your faith in the chair that you sat upon. I didn't see anybody pick up the chair, turn it upside down, and wiggle it to make sure you placed your faith in that chair. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. So what we're doing through Multiply is we're placing our faith and our confidence in God as our protector and our provider. Number two, remember that God is the ultimate promise keeper. It is God who is the ultimate promise keeper. In the early 90s, we had that big ministry called Promise Keepers throughout America, and the stadiums were filled with men. And I went to several of those Promise Keeper events. And at the end, we would make a commitment as men to be promise keepers, small p, small k. We're introduced to the ultimate promise keeper, capital P, capital K. The ultimate promise keeper is our Heavenly Father. And as we go through this journey together, we have to be reminded that God is the ultimate promise keeper. And here's what God's up to. Here's what I love about what's going on this morning, is that God has already been at work. This isn't only about what's about to happen. God's already been at work, doing a work in us, so that he can do a work through us. I've been watching that. The first person we baptized here was Debbie Benningfield, and I see Debbie sitting back here. Debbie's been in the hospital for about 2 weeks, like critically ill, and she told the doctor, Sunday is Multiply Commitment Sunday, and I'm not going to miss. And they're like, there ain't no way you're getting out of this hospital. Guess what? She's here. Debbie, would you stand up, and let's welcome Debbie here this morning. So Debbie is a forensic scientist, and she came to know the Lord through Lee Strobel's book about grace, the case for grace, and God used that to draw her into faith in Jesus Christ. So God does a work in us so that then God can do a work through us, and he's working in you right where you are. And before you showed up this morning, God was already at work in your life. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. Remember this. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Remember, God told him, leave and go to a land I will show you. And then by faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. And here's what we learn about God as the ultimate promise keeper, that God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. That's why God blesses us. That's why God has blessed you with all that you are and all that you have and all the opportunity that is in front of you. God blesses us to be a blessing. We're blessed to bless, blessed to bless. Say it with me. Blessed to bless, blessed to bless. And then number three, leave room for mystery. This is a journey. You know, when you're in your car and you say, "Up, I've seen that. You're in a cul-de-sac. But when you're on a journey, you have to leave room for mystery because there are things God wants to show you that you haven't seen. There are some experiences that God has for you that you've never experienced. There are some places God wants to take you that you've never been. So on this journey of faith and multiply, we are allowing God to surprise us along the way. There are some things God wants to do in us through these next 2 years that will surprise us. We didn't see that coming. We didn't know God was going to do that. So we want to leave room for mystery. Now look at verse 11. Ladies, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. Remember, she was 90 and her hubby, Abe, was 100. Even when she was past the age, since she considered him, here's her faith being activated, she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, Abraham, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. God used one man who was willing to leave his comfort zone and go to a land God would show him. I shared the story with you that 48 years ago, God brought one man to Northwest Houston. He was a photographer coming to Champions Golf Club to take pictures of the golf tournament. And while he was taking pictures and God began to stir his heart, God drew him to this area. So he got his family. They left their comfort zone to come to a land God would show him. And they planted their lives here. And they started a church in their home, his family of five, in the ministry of music. And on their first Sunday, they had six people. 48 years later, that church has 15,000 members, 24 venues, and 7 languages on 4 campuses called Champion Forest Baptist Church. That is God taking the faith of one man and multiplying himself through that man. So here's what I want you to write down. God wants to stretch our faith. God wants to stretch our faith. And you remember that phrase we used in Genesis when the Lord said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And I want us to remember that question. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing God can't handle. And God can handle right where you're living right now. God knows your current circumstances. God knows where he wants you in 6 months, in 12 months, in 18 months, and in 24 months. God is all-knowing, he's all-seeing, and he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God knows. But what God wants to do in us is stretch our faith. And we must leave room for mystery. So it's our turn now. It's our turn now to put our seed in the ground, the seed that God has supplied and now wants to multiply. Now, I want you to remember this, if you write this down. This is a call to commitment. I don't want to undermine this in any way or minimize this or try to downplay this. This is a major commitment. In fact, if Tony and I have walked through this commitment together and sought the Lord on the number he wants us to put on the card, as I've shared with you already personally, something in our lives will have to change. We're going to have to make major adjustments in our lifestyle in order to fulfill the commitment we're making with you this morning. Something's got to change. So this is a call to commitment. Remember, our primary goal, 100% engagement. That means 100% participation. And this is test day. You know, whenever you have a test coming up, if you're prepared, you're not going to stress out about it. This is test day. And God tests us to allow us to demonstrate our faithfulness. And also, God takes the test with us to demonstrate his faithfulness. So God wants us to reveal our faithfulness to him. God, we trust you. We're going to leave room for mystery. We're going to let you stretch our faith. And God, thank you that you're going to take this test with us, and you'll never leave us or forsake us. Look at verse 17 in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, and everybody's tested. Remember, without a test, there's no testimony. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able, say that with me, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. He knew that if he went through with slaughtering his son, Isaac, that God commanded him to sacrifice, Abraham had the faith that if he had to slaughter his son in obedience to God, God had the power to raise his son from the dead. But God intervened. I love that. Even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Here's what I love about the Abraham story. Abraham came to know God by experience as Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord our provider. His faith in action allowed him to experience God at a new level. In fact, James said that Abraham was called a friend of God. So this is a call to commitment. Tanya and I have had the privilege of being married for 27 years. We met our junior year in college. We had three classes together our freshman year, but just never interacted. It just wasn't God's time. And our junior year, she was a cheerleader. I was an observant student. God magnetized us, brought us together. We dated for a year and a half. During our courtship, I was pastoring. Then we got married, and we moved to New Orleans to go to seminary. And I remember when I was at our college graduation, one of my good buddies, who to me was one of the best preachers on campus, he asked me, he said, so what are y'all doing next? Where are y'all heading? I said, man, we're moving to New Orleans. He said, do you have a church to pastor? I said, no. We're going. God's called us to go. We're going. What about you? He said, man, I'm not going till I have a church to pastor down there. Well, we left, and I didn't have a church to go to. Tanya didn't have a teaching job to go to. We moved into a little townhouse in Slidell, Louisiana, right by seminary. And our teenagers and kids won't know what I'm talking about, but the day we got phone service and plugged it into the wall, you know what I'm talking about? This was pre-cell phones. This is a long time ago. And the day we plugged in the phone, First Baptist Church of Folsom Pastor Search Committee called and said, we had a stack of 100 resumes and you're our top choice. Can we talk to you? I went and interviewed with them, went in view of a call. And before I accepted that pastorship, Tanya had gotten a job at Folsom Elementary, two blocks down from the church. You say, well, how'd all that come together? Just taking God at his word and trusting God. And in our marriage, we made a commitment that we were newlyweds. And when we got married, we lived in this little bitty apartment on a pond. We called it Living on Golden Pond. We had very little money, but we chose to honor God with the first fruits. And we tithed our little income. And what we've learned over 27 years is that if you're faithful with little, God will entrust you with much and continue to walk with God. And we've seen God do so many amazing things. I could testify over 100 different stories of God's faithfulness. And one of the specific areas where he's really proven faithful is in transitions, when God would call us to our next assignment or call us to move out of one home to go into another neighborhood. And I remember whenever several instances where we would like put our house on the market. And I remember how God would just provide a buyer. Whenever, after seminary, we moved to our hometown where we built a home near a golf course. We thought that's where we lived our whole lives there and plant our roots deeply. And we only lived in that house we built for 1 year. And before we even put the home on the market, someone approached me, and it was my next door neighbor. It was her ex-husband. And he came to meet with me to say, I want to buy your home right now on the spot. I'll pay cash. And I'm like, well, who are you buying it for? Here's what he said. My ex-wife's mother. I said, you're fixing to buy this house for your ex-mother-in-law? He said, right now. Now you know God's at work. That was a God thing. Then we moved to Baton Rouge and moved to Denham Springs area and had a beautiful home there. And then God called us to come to Houston. And we had a gentleman in our church. We put the house on the market through him late one night, maybe 7 or 8 p.m. And the next morning he called me at 7:22 a.m. and said, "Pastor Stephen, I sold it." Just that fast. Just the favor of God as we have obeyed God and walked with God and trusted God with all that we are and all that we're not. God, we're yours. We're just going to keep our yes on the altar. Whatever you want to do with us, the answer is yes. And God has so blessed us. We were living in Spring Creek Oaks here for 8 years, just right down the road. And then the Lord was leading us to move near our new land to start living there and just want to be near where our future church home's going to be and start just occupying that area, living there, praying over that area. And so we put our home up for sale in Spring Creek Oaks on a Monday at 3 o'clock. And at 6 p.m., a guy from Dallas who had never seen it saw it online and bought it. 3 hours. And then we're looking for somewhere to live because we thought it'd be on the market for 3 months, 3 hours. And so I had done a funeral for a member of our church, a great godly man, and a family member came up and said, "If you know anybody who needs to rent a house, we're going to rent Daddy's house." So we moved into their home, and we said it has to be in Klein School District so Austin can finish at Klein High School. It was in the district, close to church. God just provided the way. Are you following me? Do you see how if you'll just trust God with what you have, watch God take what you have and he'll multiply it for his glory. He will meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory. There's so many testimonies I could testify for hours related to surgeries and last minute things and where we're on the edge, 4 seconds left on the clock in the fourth quarter. And if God doesn't come through, it's over. And God has always come through. So this is a call to commitment. I love this Rick Warren quote, "Nothing shapes your life more than the commitments you choose to make." Nothing. And then this is also a challenge to generosity. It's so easy to slip into being selfish and self-absorbed and self-consumed. But God's calling us out of that to a lifestyle of generosity. God is calling us to raise our level of living by faith and giving by faith. And our core scripture for this multiplied journey has been 2 Corinthians 9:10. "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply. Not only will he supply, but he will multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Verse 11, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." I shared with you how in our 27-year marriage, we have been able to observe Tanya's mama and pawpaw, and God bless them financially. They have given so much to ministries all over the world and given to help us in ministry as well. Just so generous. But here's what stood out about them. They limited their level of living to create margin to be generous in their giving. In other words, they got to a place in their marriage where they said, "This is enough. We're going to live at this level." Now, they could have bought a new home. They could have lived at a whole nother level. They could afford it. And in fact, I went to help Papa buy a truck one day, and the salesman, and I'm negotiating. I love to negotiate. I just have a passion for that. So I'm negotiating the deal, and he says, "Well, Mr. Brunson, how much you want to finance?" And Papa said, "Finance? Son, I'm paying cash for that truck." Boy, that'd preach. They limited their level of living to create margin to be generous in their giving. And that's where God is stretching our family to make adjustments in our lifestyle to create more margin to be more generous. And we have a whole list of things we feel led of God to do. Number 3, this is an opportunity to see God multiply us. God wants to multiply us. Now, God wants to do a work in you, to do a work through you, but also as a community, as a gathered fellowship, as a church of the living God. God wants to do something through us collectively to multiply us for his glory. I love Ephesians 3:20. And what God is trying to do is extend our reach where we can fully comprehend Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. God wants to extend our reach. God wants to multiply us through our campuses, at our Champions location. God is doing a tremendous work there. And God is going to extend our reach at our Champions location through our community ministry center and other partnerships that we're engaged in to extend the gospel and extend the reach from our Champions location. And multiply is going to help us take that much further, faster. Whenever you look at our Jersey Village campus and all that God is doing there at Beltway and 290, both in English and in Spanish, just tremendous growth at that location. And what God wants us to do from Jersey Village to reach the people in the shadow of our steeple and to extend our reach, that's going to be made possible through multiply. So though we're focused on what God wants us to do here, what God's doing is multiplying us through our other campuses. As we link hands together and hearts together and lives together and resources together, we do better together. In fact, Thursday, did you know that on Thursday we closed on purchasing the 57,000 square foot Kroger in Conroe at I-45 and 336 Loop in the fastest growing city in America? So when you drive by the Kroger this week, you'll see a big sign up there that says, Champion Forest, Conroe. So we got groceries out. We're bringing God in. That's God at work. And that's because of your faithfulness and your willingness to place your yes on the altar and be used of God. We've been so blessed here at North Klein. We launched 4.5 years ago. Some of you launched with us. You're part of that team that came to set up and launch this campus. And we set up every Sunday morning and tear down every Sunday right after this service. And you've been part of that journey. Some of you have joined us over the past few years. Some of you have joined us the last few months. Some of you are brand new and you're like, what is this portable church thing? This is kind of cool. I like what I'm feeling here. It's so intimate and I feel a special connection. Maybe God's drawing you to be part of our journey. And you need to join now, because here's the deal. We're only going to be portable for a short period of time, because we're going to be breaking ground on March the 18th, which is in just a couple weeks from today at 1:30. And then on March 19th, Tellepson moves in, and they're going to be moving earth. We're getting the cows out and bringing Christians in to reach more people for Christ. So all of that is coming together, and they say that we'll be in our new building, based on our chairman of our building committee, Steve Beatty, and his team, we'll be in our new facility, permanent facility, for Easter of 2019. So I praise God for that. Now listen, the reason we as a campus need to step up is when you look at the $75 million in the two-year initiative, and 35 of that is the capital component, 20 of the 35 is North Klein's new campus. $20 million. We've already paid cash, $6 million cash, for the 45 acres. It's paid for. Paid cash for that because of the faithfulness of doing church better together. So God is doing a great work, and I want to challenge you to let God multiply through you. And here's the vision. There's a champion force near you. Would you say that with me? There's a champion force near you. Right now, we're one church in four locations. We have a tremendous vision to see God spread out Champion Forest campuses throughout Northwest Houston for his glory.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.